Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Here on KFH. My name is Paul Savage, along with Jacob Albrecht, who will be joining us in just a moment. Big day in sports, all kinds of things going on. Friday, the World Series starts. And by the way, could you ask for two greater teams? I mean, these are icons. This might be one of the best World Series as we have seen in a while. The Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Yankees, two iconic teams. It's going to be a lot of fun. Probably, I believe we could say, and Jacob will be joining us here in just a moment or two, but I think I could say, if I was to make the statement to you, Jad, if I said, you know something, the two best baseball players right now at this moment in all of baseball is Ohtani and Judge, would you not agree? Because you're shaking your head, kind of, yeah, you would agree.
That's right. Yeah, sure.
Well, I mean, I'm shaking my head. Yes, I think we can make a case for that. And part of the beautiful part about that, Jacob, is obviously that two of the iconic teams of baseball going into a World Series. How can you not love that? Here's my hope. Can I give you my hope, Jacob? Here's my hope. This goes seven games. That's what I want. I want it to go seven games. I want to see these two iconic teams battle it out for seven games. That's just what I hope. It doesn't go four and it's done. I want to see a World Series of consequence, and this is stacking up to be one of those kind of series. Oop, Jacob's gone again. Well, we'll just get him right back. But my point is, once we get to that World Series, it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to that particular game. Last night we had two games in the NFL. One of the games that I really enjoyed getting some glimpses of. I didn't get to see the whole game, but got close to seeing quite a bit of this particular game. That was the Ravens and the Buccaneers, and you know, Lamar Jackson. He just amazes me. I don't want to think that he's going to be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, partly because of the way he plays. I mean, his style of football. I always worry from game to game about, you know, injury. He's that kind of player that can happen, and we see those kind of injuries all the time on quarterbacks that run. I mean, look at the Washington Commanders and Jalen Daniels. We're looking at him. You know, that was one of the big worries. I thought to myself, here's a young man that's going to come into this league. He's really, 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 really good. And so it's one of those things where I worry about a guy like Lamar Jackson getting hurt. Jacob, I just think that
he took a couple shots. You got me now, Paul. Sorry about that.
No problem, Jacob.
So happy to be here with you. We'll get into Monday Night Football.
Oh, okay.
We'll get into a little bit of the World Series, all of these things. Monday Night Football is very interesting to me because of the Ravens. I want to tell you that the IHOP hotline is open. It's brought to you by IHOP. Celebrate the weekdays with all new IHOP house faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. Coming up top of the hour, we'll talk to Dan Israel, our Chiefs insider, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network. And I think that's interesting today because of what we saw last night from the Ravens. Where do people stack the Chiefs and the Ravens at the top of the AFC? I know the obvious answer there. They played each other, but it's obviously a gray area and not a black and white question. So we'll get into that a little bit as we make our way through today. A lot of interesting stuff to get to. Tua Tagovailoa is coming back for Miami. What do we think of that decision from him? I would tell you, just on the surface, I think it's his decision to make. The NBA is back tonight. We got all kinds of good stuff coming for you. And we're happy to be here with you. Paul, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Forgive my raspiness. I have something in my throat.
All right.
I don't know what it is, but we'll be all right. We'll survive
it. My suggestion would be honey
and hack.
Yeah, my suggestion would be a little bit of honey and some HTO. That I mean, just
Have hot tea and HTO. And it is delicious.
Put a little honey in it, and you're good to go.
Yeah, we'll be good to go. We're ready to rock and roll. So let's talk about Monday Night Football, Paul.
All right.
I love when they have two. I'm all in on the two games at once thing. I think it's pretty awesome. I like it. I hope it's something that continues in the NFL. I don't see why not. And the Ravens come into that thing, and we've seen the Ravens stumble this year, right? They lost the opener, and they feel like they should have won it, and all those things. They were going to go for two, and who knows if they'd have made it. And then they lost to the Raiders. You're like, well, wait, what? What was that? But then since then, they have wins over Dallas, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Washington, Tampa. So you're looking at a stretch here. Not only have the Ravens won those last five, but they have played a really tough schedule in that stretch. And say what you will about Dallas, right? Buffalo, that's a huge. They beat Buffalo by 25. They took Cincinnati on the road to overtime. They beat Washington, who's this up-and-comer, right? Tampa last night. Tampa had a really unfortunate night that we'll get to. But the Ravens are really, really good. And Lamar is in peak Lamar form. Right now, got to be the odds-on favorite to go back-to-back on an MVP. Would you, though, right now, knowing everything that we know, knowing that they're mostly healthy, the Chiefs are not, they're far from it, if we're power ranking the AFC right now, they have two losses, but is there a case to be made that you could power rank them ahead of the Chiefs? I think that there is. I don't know that I would do it. It doesn't matter, of course. And you just look at it, and I think this becomes a really interesting way to look at it, because as we look at it, you've got to think about playing them in the postseason, right? If you're the Chiefs right now, if I'm the Chiefs, like everything I'm doing is pretty much I'm looking at what's in my way of another Super Bowl. Well, Tampa's not in the way anymore. The team they get to play, the good fortune in a lot of ways continues for the Chiefs. They get to now play the Buccaneers in a couple of weeks, Paul. And the Buccaneers probably won't have Godwin. They probably won't have Evans.
Beat up.
So,
yep.
You look at the Ravens and what they're doing, and you have to imagine as you're making any decisions to try to make this team better, because the Chiefs injury news just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. They're now down their corner. Watson, Juju's not going to play this weekend. So that means you're starting with your fourth string wide receiver in the game. You have to, I think about that stuff and look at it through the lens of, okay, What are we looking at? Yeah, we're 6-0. That's great. We're 6-0. Awesome. But what does that mean to win a Super Bowl? And I think when you have that conversation, you got to start it with the Ravens right now, at least in the AFC, because Derrick Henry's finding a groove. Mm-hmm. And okay, the Chiefs have been really good against the run. And I'm in on that too, by the way. But if you are able to stop Derrick Henry, Lamar's never looked better as a passer. He's probably never had more options, more legitimate options in the passing game than he has this year. And their defense isn't spectacular, but it's pretty good and will get better. And the thing that they have done really well is stop the run. And that's what the Chiefs need to do to win playoff games. When that's their style right now is to run the ball. So I don't know how much we look back at week one, because the Chiefs have lost since that game. They've lost Isaiah Pacheco. They've lost Rashi Rice. They don't have Juju right now. They're down their second best corner. Like, I think you have to consider all that stuff when you look and evaluate what the Chiefs need to be doing in the couple of weeks that they have before a trade deadline to try to get better. And the answer to that may be nothing, because it's hard to make trades in season in the NFL. We know that. But I do think you have to look at the Ravens that way and think about it that way. You can't just sit here and say, yeah, well, we're 6-0 and we beat them in week one. Week one was a lifetime ago at this like point.
It. Yeah. Well, that was very nice. That was very well done. That was a nice circuitry, whatever it was. It was very, very cogent. It made a lot of sense. But you know something, Jacob? I hate to bring this up, but you did not mention the name Patrick Mahomes. You didn't bring that. I don't believe, unless I missed it, you did not mention the name Patrick Mahomes. When you're a football team and you have a guy like Patrick Mahomes, who I think is the best player in all of the NFL at this moment, going into this game week, I think he's the best player in the NFL. You didn't mention him. And when you have that, there's a reason why you are undefeated. There's a reason why the Chiefs are the only, let me point that out, only NFL team left still undefeated. You got to buy a guy by the name of Patrick Mahomes. I think that's worth mentioning. I think that's, I'm making a point that you have a lot of good points. But right now, the defending championships, the two-time defending world champions, the Kansas City Chiefs, have a player by the name of Patrick Mahomes. Last I've heard, he's healthy. He's ready to go. He's going to play this weekend. That's the last I heard. I know no other reason why he's not playing. And have him, you've got
–
Do you? Because you – okay. Well, that's all
and
I'm saying.
I think you're getting out over your skis just a tad.
Just a tad.
I would not bet against the Chiefs. I'm the same person who last year, Paul, when the sky was falling for a lot of Chiefs fans, it said, you got to chill. This is actually a team that's built to win in the postseason. Mm-hmm. They play really good defense. They have Mahomes. They have Kelsey. They can run the ball. They'll be fine.
Okay.
Same guy who said that. Same guy who still feels that way right now.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
However, that team last year was not dealing with the crazy list of injuries that this team is dealing with right now.
I hear you.
And we'll talk about that when we come back. Bad news for the Chiefs on the injury front yesterday. It all goes hand in hand. It's funny to me. Like, me saying I think the Chiefs need to do something to try to improve the roster to make up from these injuries. Like, there is a very large portion of Chief fans, Chief media that would take that as this like personal offense. How could you say that? Like, they're the best. And I'm like, okay.
I think I just did that, didn't I?
You did. Like, I'm like, yeah. Like, it's, don't take offense to me saying I think they need to go make a couple of moves here, because this is, we'll explain. We'll continue the conversation. The Ravens doing what they did last night, the way that they did it, I think intensifies it for me. But we'll come back. We'll have more Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Savage. We got lots of good stuff. I want to say thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every morning at KFH. More Sports Daily coming right at you. Portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Coming up, fall at the club. Still golfing, as we tell you. Tennis events like glow-in-the-dark triples. It's a one-time-a-year special event for the Halloween season you don't want to miss. The indoor courts get blacked out. Tennis court net are illuminated via black light, high energy, fast-paced, a great workout, and you can play triples. Part of a team of three or four.
There you go.
Taking on other teams of three or four, rotating after every point. Voting for the best costume. Prize is available for first and second. Music will be playing on the courts. That's the kind of stuff we tell you about over at Crestview. Just because the weather changes doesn't mean the fun doesn't continue at Crestview. Give them a call. Check out their membership deals. Tell them we sent you from Sports Daily. Paul, yes.
Oh, I was just going to say the one thing that's obvious to me, the last 3 weeks have probably been some of the best golf weather that we've had around here for a full year. Tremendous golf weather. I'm just saying, boy, what a reason to go out to Crestview and get some golf in. Have you played some golf in the last 2 or 3 weeks?
I got about 7 holes in a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
I'm doing a Top Golf charity thing for the Hadwins, which we had them in a couple of weeks ago.
Good.
That'll be
with
Tommy. And then there's a Special Olympics charity event next Monday, this coming Monday, which is you're in for me here. So and that'll probably be my grand finale, maybe one more round. It is really hard in the fall to find to play
but
golf.
It's so beautiful. I mean, that's my point. You know?
I know that's the problem. It's the best time of year to play, but it's impossible.
Right.
We now have, Paul, starting tonight, as I coach my daughter's fourth grade basketball team, we will now have kids' activities 7 nights a week. All 7 nights. have something. I guess Sunday nights don't, but we're also in birthday party season as school starts. So literally 7 days a week, like it's kids stuff. So fall is hard, but this is what I mean. Like the tennis stuff, my wife's playing tennis. I mean, I think maybe right now, like anytime she gets away and has like an hour in between shifts and kids,
good for her.
She runs over there and plays tennis.
Good.
I might go hit the range. That's what that kind of stuff is why we've really liked
Crosby. Attaboy. Good for you.
Give him a call. Paul, we're talking Chiefs. So this is so funny because Tommy would have done the same thing to me you just did. When I watch and again, I'm not picking against the Chiefs, not betting against the Chiefs, not doing any of that. I'm just laser focusing on a Super Bowl. Last year, when everything was going wrong and they were losing games, and that didn't happen yet, by the way. They were 6-1 to start last year. But when that was happening, you're just looking to the Super Bowl. Now, we had already passed the trade deadline and all of those things, and they didn't really need to do anything to the roster last year. They just needed to play better, right? And so you looked at it, and you're like, okay, well, they've got this – all of a sudden, they have this great defense. They can run the ball. They have Mahomes and Kelsey, and Rashi Rice was ascending, right? So it was like, for me, I was like, that's a team that's built to win in the postseason. And then I look at this year, and it is still a team that's built to win in the postseason. And the biggest difference right now is the Chiefs are playing really well, all things considered, right? They're not making mistakes. They are turning the ball over too much, but they're not penalties. And I think the turnovers are partly due to the fact that they have to try to make up for roster deficiencies and be a little more aggressive. Mahomes does, but he leads the league in interceptions right now. Paul, what if I told you that Travis Kelce's averaging, I don't know, it's something like 4 catches and 40 yards a game right now, easily the slowest start to his career since he's become kind of the guy. What if I told you they'd be down Isaiah Pacheco, Rashi Rice, Hollywood Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster? Now they get the news of Watson, and he left the game with injury. Jalen Watson in a cast. It doesn't sound like that's good. He may be done for a while. They don't have Isaiah Pacheco. Patrick Mahomes leads the league in interceptions. Patrick Mahomes is by quarterback rating the 22nd ranked quarterback this year in football. All of those things, and I told you they were 6-0. I think you can look at that a lot of ways. You can look at it and say, well, what about when some of those things aren't the case? They're going to be that much better. And I totally agree with that, by the way. But I think you do have to look at it and remember that Bengals game was razor thin. The Ravens game was razor thin. The Falcons game was razor thin. They've had a lot of good fortune this year. And so I don't want to be blinded by that either. I do think that they if they can, they should add to the roster any way that they can. It's a different year. You're going for history. You can go all in more than you normally would. And all in's relative. They're not going to go trade a bunch of crazy. They're not going to go make a bunch of crazy trades, but they can be more aggressive maybe than normal at a time like this, because you're trying to make history. This may be it for Kelce, right? Like all of these things are there for you to kind of push it all in, I think, a little bit this year. And I do think it's okay. And Chiefs fans, Chiefs media, like always ready to be on the attack anytime anybody says something about the Chiefs. And it doesn't have to be that way. Like the Chiefs are great. They're 6-0, right? That doesn't mean they can't be better. And it doesn't mean we shouldn't be paying attention to what's happening around us. Mm. And what's happening around us is that the Ravens look awesome. And the Steelers with Russell Wilson looked awesome. And the Texans are ascending and all of these things. And we have to think about that thing, about things that way. If they went with the roster that they have now into the playoffs, how good do you feel about that?
Well, you make a great point. I mean, you've made several great points. And the first point is that two stats that you gave would just jump out at me. And that is Kelce. And that is, he's turned 35 now. He is certainly not making those spectacular plays that we would come on the radio on a Monday and say, did you see, Kelce, that play that he – no, we're not seeing
it. He's doing a lot. He's blocking well. He's doing a lot of things well. But don't get me wrong. He's playing well.
He's not the Kelce that we understand.
Not as a pass catcher.
Not as a pass catcher or a playmaker. However, the stat with the most interceptions, you know, right now we're talking about with Patrick Mahomes, anybody who throws that many interceptions would you know, you would certainly have a problem with your football team. However, it's still on the other end. He's doing a lot of things right. And the other thing is, quite frankly, you bring up the Ravens. I am so jealous of the Ravens. I am so jealous that they got Derrick Henry. I just, you know, and I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, picture Derrick Henry on the roster of the Kansas City Chiefs, and where would you be? But I can tell you right now, he is doing so much better than I really thought. I mean, I was buying into the age thing, and he, you know, that, well, maybe he's getting up there. He's a running back. I mean, he's had a lot of wear and tear on his body. But, man, oh, man, that guy. I'll tell you what, you talk about Lamar Jackson being player of the year. I'm not so sure I couldn't make a case at this point with Derrick Henry as the MVP, because Lamar Jackson may not be having the year that he would be having if it weren't for Derrick Henry. So I'm very jealous of that. But I get your point. I get your point on that. And right now this is a Patrick Mahomes show. It's him. It's who he is. He doesn't have Rice. He doesn't have Pacheco. He doesn't have, well, I was going to say Kelce. He has Kelce, but Kelsey's not, it's not the same thing as we've seen in the past. So this is going to be somewhat of a creation of Patrick Mahomes, how he does it, how the staff puts together. It's going to be fascinating to watch and see how this is done. Because
it is. And you know, they're actually still a good matchup for the Ravens because the Chiefs can stop the run, right? Still a good matchup. I still like that matchup.
Well,
I don't want apathy to set in to just say, man, they're good enough. They're 6-0. They're gonna do whatever, because last year's team was 6-1, and then the wheels fell off. Just a reminder that it can, like, for as much, this is the NFL, right? The ultimate law of averages league. Everything has gone right for the Chiefs on the field, not off the field. They're losing players right and left. They don't have a left tackle that they trust. Like, all of these things are in there. I just don't think you need to set on your laurels and say, it's the Chiefs, it's Patrick Mahomes, they'll be fine. Last year, you didn't really have a choice. The trade deadline had come and gone, right? But they weren't dealing with the kinds of injuries they're dealing with this year either. It's an injury problem. As we get the news yesterday, Paul, that Watson is going to probably be out for a long time, if not all of the time. And Juju, that hamstring flared up, and he's going to be out a while. Andy Reid already ruled him out. So, okay, now you're going into a game. You're starting with Worthy, who we know is not a possession receiver. Worthy is barely being used right now. Okay, so you have him. We're going to go Watson now, Mecole Hardman. I don't know. Travis Kelce's not. Now, I will also say they're utilizing tight ends in a different way, and they're a really good running team, right? Their interior line is, if it's not the best in football, find me a better one, because I think it is. And they've got Kareem Hunt, and that style of football is lending itself and been such a nice complement to the way that they play defense that, yeah, they'll be fine. Like, they're still the favorite. I wouldn't pick against them, but that doesn't mean they can't be better, Paul. And that's what I look at. Like, why would you not go do anything you can do to get a little bit better when we're only in the eighth week of the NFL? So we're not even halfway home, and you already are dealing with all these injuries. You think they're going to make it the rest of the way without any more injuries of significance? Because I doubt it, right? And they're already up against that. Well, I think they need to be pretty aggressive over the next 2 weeks.
And something tells me they probably will, because, you know, I'm not sure that they're thinking they can go to the bank with what they've got right now. Something's got to be done. Something's got to be done with some speed, with some possession receivers. I mean,
I think they've got the speed. I think they need the possession receiver. If Juju's not there, and I thought that would hurt them more in the Niners game, and then the Niners lost all their players in the middle of the game, and the defense played just an unbelievable game for the Chiefs. I think not having Juju is going to hurt Mahomes. I think not having somebody out there that he absolutely knows he can get to in a third down situation, like whatever it is, because if that's not Kelce, if teams continue to take that away, and they are, I mean, or maybe it's Noah Gray. I don't think it's Watson. Like, I don't know who that player is, and that's always been an important thing for Mahomes to have.
Correct.
And I don't know. And by the way, I don't know that you can just go find that either. But if they go make a trade this week, that player you need to be thinking about as a contributor in the postseason. You still got to get there. You'd like him to come along quickly. And we saw Amari Cooper score a touchdown with Buffalo in kind of limited action. Like, those guys will ramp up. I just don't think the Chiefs should sit still here. I know they're 6-0. They were 6-1 last year. I can promise you, Paul, if something like last year happened and they're good and they lost, like, let's say they lose 4-6, and I don't think they will, but let's say they lose 4-6 like they did a year ago, I can promise you the same people right now that are saying they're fine, it's that, they won't be saying that 6 weeks from now. They'll be panicking. And all of the reasons why this is very much a team that can win a Super Bowl as currently constructed and is the favorite to do so still exist. Doesn't mean can't get better, right? Doesn't mean you can't get better. They have an aggressive GM. After watching the Ravens last night, knowing that they're getting better defensively and have turned into one of the better run-stopping teams in football at the same time as are boasting this offense that they have, I think you got to stack yourself up against them at minimum, right? You got to look there at minimum and think about how that looks in the postseason. It's still a good matchup for the Chiefs because they stop the run well.
Right.
And if you can stop Derrick Henry, you feel good. But, man, they have a lot of weapons now. Bateman looks good. They still have Zay Flowers. Both their tight ends are going now. Andrews finally unlocked a little bit last night. And then Henry has that closing ability. If the Ravens stop the Chiefs' running game, what do you do at that point? And I think it's perfectly okay to right now look at things that way and try to evaluate what you could do over the next 2 weeks based really on what they're doing.
Well, part of the good news is next week you got Las Vegas, and that, you know, they're not the greatest team in the world. That should be a team that I believe
beat the Ravens, by the way.
Well, I know that, but they're 2-5. I mean, they've not played.
Yeah, they stink.
They're not that good. And of course, the old axiom, anybody can beat anybody in the NFL. The worst team.
Absolutely.
I mean, let's face it. That's why there's such a thing as a bookie in Las Vegas, is because anybody can beat anybody, and that's the charm of the whole thing. But you're catching a break playing Las Vegas. But it gives a chance to get to the point where the Chiefs are trying to answer some of these questions, figure out some of these things, work out an option or two that would be beneficial to the roster. It's hard because all the good players are on rosters already, Jacob. That's part of the problem.
Yeah, you got to make a trade. You got to go. That's the thing.
You got to go. You got to go. That's where the players are. Go ahead.
I don't think they're making a Davante Adams or Amari Cooper type of move. I don't think they should. I don't think they need to. I don't think it's necessary. But I do think you could look around the league and do something to try to find a little help. That's all. That's all I'm saying. You're not going to find a left tackle. You're kind of going to have to just roll with what you've got there. And quite frankly, even as those two guys have struggled a little bit, they've been able to work around that for the most part. And you can give credit to Mahomes for that. The quick pass game, all the things they can do to help with that. You're not finding that help on the trade market at left tackle. Teams don't trade left tackles. But there are plenty of teams with receivers that they just don't need right now. There just are. And so look around. Who's a fit, right? We need a possession receiver that can acclimate quickly. We need a smart player that can run all the routes, right? You got to have them run all the routes. Even if they're like, that's the thing. Juju's perfect for it. Like, he's the perfect guy. But
well,
now he's
well, good
but
luck
now
on
he's
that
hurt
one.
Again.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's older, and it's soft tissue. And so, how much are you going to have him down the stretch? Mm-hmm. Like, he's the perfect guy. Go try to find somebody that replicates him. Right, that type of player and see if you can get him. All you got to do is have him acclimated by week 17, Paul. Like, you don't have to have him acclimated by week eight.
That's right. That's
you know what I mean? Like, it's not about that. It would be nice if they could help you right away. That's icing on the cake. But the reality is anything that the Chiefs do should be aimed at the postseason. The good news for them is they built in a little bit of a cushion here. They have a three-game advantage on the Ravens. So, you know, for the Chiefs to not be ahead of the Ravens at minimum in the standings, you got to imagine them at least losing three games and the Ravens winning all the rest of their games. Ravens probably aren't winning all the rest of their games. So the Chiefs get to maintain this three-game advantage. They've got two games in the win-loss column and the tiebreaker right now. That's fantastic news. Mm-hmm. You'd love playing that game at Arrowhead, even though they won it in Baltimore last year. That's fantastic news. Again, nothing they need to do or should do would be out of desperation, but just out of why not? Why not go get a little bit better? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, deep down, we all know that improvement has to be made. I mean, deep down, what are the chances of winning a third Super Bowl stacked the way you are right now? Well, I think it would be very, very difficult.
Well, it is, but they're still, and I'll look right now. Let me go look at the betting odds. But I would still pick them to win the Super Bowl. So don't misunderstand. Like, and they are, yes, they are the odds-on favorite. Quite a bit more than the Ravens. And then the Lions predictably are third. You know, they're still the odds on favorite, and I think they should be. I would still pick them to win the Super Bowl. I just think you can, if you can get a little better, get a little bit better.
But they're not dominating, and that's part of the problem. I mean, we've seen through the course of these six wins. I mean, how many 1-point wins? I don't have it in front of me, but how many 1-point wins? At least two or three 1-point wins. I mean, this is a team that's 6-0.
And that's okay.
But they could be 3-3. They could be 3-3.
Yeah, to me, they could be, but that's a part of what makes the team great is the fact that they are 6-0 despite all of it. And Andy Reid was asked about that yesterday, and that's not by accident, by the way, either. They're not lucky. They're good at that. They're good at getting messy and ugly and sloppy. I told you after week two or three, I was like, the Chiefs are totally comfortable with this, by the way. Like, they're fine. They're just fine having the game on the line late and being able to go put it away. Like, that is their DNA, the way they're currently constructed, because they know their defense can get them a stop, and they know Patrick Mahomes is always going to make a big play. Always. Mm. Like, they're fine with it. And I think they still are.
Yeah. And
Andy Reid talked about that yesterday, and he was asked about, like, winning the close games, he pointed to, like, the intangible stuff. He was like, that starts with everybody in that locker room being on the same page.
Right, right.
Everybody in that locker room having like an unbelievable amount of trust with each other, right, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, and that was, we saw that. That's how they won a Super Bowl last year. So we know they can. Mm-hmm. Of course they can do it. They're the odds on favorite for a reason. But yep. I still think they should go try to get a little depth because the injuries just keep piling up. Two more yesterday. My goodness, like at some point, I mean, at some point, it's too many. And so
I got you, big boy. I got you. 869-1240,
the IHOP hotline's open for you. You can also find us on our video streams. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. Thanks for watching us on Facebook, on YouTube, and X, for listening to us on the Odyssey app. Always appreciate everybody being here. One more on the Chiefs top of the next hour. Dan Israel, our Chiefs insider, is coming in. We'll pose this question to him. Basically what we've been talking about. Let's stick in the NFL. Tua Tagovailoa is going to start this week. It looks like. Should he? How good can the Dolphins be? Is there still time for them to be a contender if Tua's there? We'll talk about all of that when we return on Sports Daily. Welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. You can tune in right here on KFH tonight at 6 for the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, and Chiefs Kingdom Show. It's available right here or on the free Odyssey app. Speaking of Chiefs Kingdom, Chiefs Radio Network, our Chiefs insider, Dan Israel, the executive producer, joins us top of the next hour, so stay tuned for that. Between now and then, Paul, Tua appears to be on his way back this weekend. He still has to clear concussion protocol, but he can't do that until he starts practicing, which he's expected to do this week. It was bad again. The concussions keep piling up for him. I think we all know the risk in that. I think nobody knows the risk in that more than Tua Tagovailoa, and he's choosing to play. Got no issue with him making that decision for himself. It's his decision to make, Paul. The protocols, the procedures are in place. If he clears them and he wants to play and he's okay with the risk, it's his choice to make.
Well, who am I to say what is right and what is wrong? But I know this. A lot of bad things can happen with concussions and I fear for that. We know, we know that. And the problem, Jacob, is while we know a lot about the situation of a concussion, we don't know what's in the future for concussions. Right. Now, right now, if he was to walk away from the game, he just signed before the season started a $214 million a year contract. I don't remember exactly what the guarantee was, but it was like 90 or 100 million was guaranteed no matter what. So here's a situation where money is not obviously the reason why he wants to play. It's love of the game. Who doesn't love the game? I love the game. I mean, you know, we all make these decisions whether the I broke a wrist. I was told if I played again, if I hurt that wrist while I was playing, I might lose the flexibility of my wrist and not ever be able to move my wrist. You know what I did? I played. Because that's what guys do. They play. They want to play.
Well, it's not even just football. Well, it's anything. You know, whatever it is, whatever your passion is, if it's taken from you, you're probably going to do everything that you can to still be able to do it.
Right.
Whatever it is.
Right.
And so the risk is his and his alone and his family's. I mean, I hope that maybe we can put him in one of those big old crazy helmet things that they're putting on some helmets now. And, you know, you can do some of that, but it's his risk to take. I can't say that I would do the same thing. I'm not sure what I would do.
Can I ask you a question? Do you mind if I ask a question? His head coach, Mike McDaniels, and too, I'm sure had a conversation. I want to put you in the shoes of McDonald. What would you do if Tua walks into your office and you're going to discuss this whole situation? What would your advice be to Tua? The one answer you can't give is that it's up to you. I'm saying, would you? And I want it affirmed. Would you say play? Don't play. Not it's your decision.
I'm not going to tell him what to do. Number one, so that is the answer. It's your decision to make. And I would tell him that we're going to be just fine. Whatever decision that you make, we're going to fully support you. Whatever decision that you make, he said after the injury. Tua's got a bigger responsibility as a dad than he does as a quarterback. And so he's made it pretty clear where he lands on that. But I'm not going to tell somebody what to do like that because I don't think it's any – and I know people want – but that's not our – we don't get that privilege to tell somebody what to do with their life. If he wants to take that risk – he can take that risk.
Gosh, what would you say to your son? What would you tell your son to do? Because is that a different deal? Because
I think
right
it's a different
now,
deal.
I'm concerned about
I think
this
it's
whole
a different
thing.
Deal. I would say, son, you don't need the money. You right. don't need the fame.
Yes.
You don't have anything to
That's
prove.
What I would, yeah.
You've got a family. I just want you to be, you know, healthy and alive. But I'm also not going to say, son, I'm not going to allow you to play football, or I think you're an idiot if you do. I mean, at some point, we all take risks. It's so hard to compare it to things because people will say, well, it's just a game. But if it's your passion, if it's your livelihood, if it's your living, it's more than that. And people take risks all the time. People take physical risks in what they choose to do for a living all the time. And he's choosing, if he plays, to take a pretty big risk. He made it through the entire year last year without any issues. I don't know what you can do. Now, if I were McDaniel, I would say, all right, we're welcoming you back, but you're going to get in one of those, helmet things, these big, massive
helmet cover.
Yep, that's going on. Like, if you're going to play, you're going to play with that thing on, because I'm not going to sit here and watch guy on the field. So that's going to happen. Like, you're going to have to do that, and you know, you're going to have to promise me that you will stop scrambling. We don't need that. We don't need that first down that bad. Yeah, I know that changes your game, but I'm going to take that away from you. No, I'm going to go to my offensive coordinator and say he better not ever run the ball. And if I'm talking to two, I say you better not scramble. If you do anything but slide again, you're going on the bench. Like, I'll bench you the next play and you'll be out.
I respect that from you. I do totally respect that, Jacob.
That kind of stuff you can
do. I respect you for that one.
But you can't tell him he can't play.
I was prepared to tell him. I was prepared to tell him. That's me. I was prepared to say that.
Well, but I get
what you're saying.
Like,
I really do.
Do you feel like McDaniel owns any responsibility to Tua's well-being? Because I do not at all. If something bad happens to Tua, that is in no way.
I don't know. That's not the way coaches work.
Try to blame the Dolphins. Like, no. Tua's making this choice.
No, not the Dolphins. No.
The Dolphins made it very clear that they support him if he chose to step away.
I have told players in professional football, retire. Stop playing. My players, my position kids, don't come back. Don't play again. I worry about you. Am I out of line on that? I don't think so, because I don't want to see anybody get hurt that has the potential of getting hurt. I've stepped football. In and said don't play before, Jacob.
I get it. But I think it's Tua's choice to make.
It's everybody's choice. I don't have the right to do that, really and truly, do I? I really don't.
Protect him as much as you can.
That's what I'm trying to do.
He's got to know the risk he's taken.
Let's
come back. We're going to get Dan Israel in. I want to ask him what he thinks after the Ravens game last night, after we get the news on Jalen Watson and Juju Smith-Schuster. Are the Chiefs good to just kind of roll through, or is the pressure intensifying for them to do something?
Good question.
Dan Israel, that question and all of it when we return. Hour number two of Sports Daily. It's all brought to Paul Savage. We'll be right back.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Caught! Touchdown! Kansas City!
Hey, Chiefs Kingdom, we have you covered. Joining Sports Daily Live, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, Dan Israel.
And that's how we start hour number two here on Sports Daily. Jacob Albrecht, Paul Savage in for Tommy here today. Dan Israel, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, joins us on the IHOP hotline and on our video stream on 12 News Connected. Dan, welcome in. How are you this morning?
I'm feeling like I got Christmas early this year. This has just been a crazy ride, hasn't it? I mean, we're sitting here undefeated, and I can't explain why.
So I can't either. And now the Buccaneers are going to be without their top two pass catchers when the Chiefs play them in a couple weeks. But it's hard, Dan. The Chiefs Kingdom sometimes can be very aggressive, I'll call it. Anytime that you point out realities, sometimes it's offense taken. And so when I look at it and I watch the Ravens last night, for me, it's like, okay, let's project into the future. If those two teams play in the postseason, how do you think it goes? I'd still think the Chiefs are a good matchup, but boy, it's a lot different than it was in week one, right? Yeah. Since then, the Chiefs don't have Isaiah Pacheco. They don't have Rashee Rice. They don't have Juju Smith-Schuster. They don't have Jalen Watson. All of those things are piling up on them, and the Ravens are clicking, have become one of the best run defenses in football. Right. Derrick Henry has found a groove. Lamar Jackson looks like the MVP again. Mm-hmm. And so I think it would be, and I don't think the Chiefs are doing this, but I think some fans are just saying everything's fine no matter what. It would be foolish to not try to get better in the next 2 weeks for the Chiefs. They've just had too many injuries.
Yeah, if you told me in the beginning of the season that we were going to be dealing with a lack of receivers, quality receivers, I was, man, we're overloaded. Our quiver is completely full, and yet it seems like every week we lose one or two of those, you know, important facets. The Watson thing was really sad too, in that he's just playing so well, and you know. But the one thing I would point out there, Jacob, too, excuse me, is that. You know, likely, and because I watched that Ravens game last night and was like, wow, who's beating that team, right? We're not going to play them again until the end of the season. And right. Some of those guys will get back. Not all of them, right? But some of those guys will get back. Hopefully, we'll be in a better shape because I'm not sure the Chiefs have enough right now in the tank to go out and beat that team because they look like they were just hitting on all cylinders.
Well, and the Chiefs have three games on them, so it's probably being played in Arrowhead. So that matters too, but that doesn't mean the Chiefs shouldn't try to get better, and I think that they can, and I don't think it'll be anything major, but we look at it. Mahomes leads the league in interceptions, I think largely because he's having to press a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, he isn't having a good year. Kelce is, you know, statistically speaking, a pass catcher, exactly, probably his worst start, you know, since he's been the guy. So, like, all of that stuff matters. And I don't think there's anything wrong with realizing 6-0 could just as easily be 3-3.
I don't think it's
worth overlooking the fact that they started last year 6-1, right? And then lost 4 of 6. So just there's no reason to get apathetic here. If the Chiefs can get better, they got to get better.
Yeah, you know, and I just knowing Brett Veach, you know he's on that phone. I mean, the next 2 weeks are going to be interesting. I hope they go and do something that's more substantial than, like, say, bringing MVS back. That just doesn't make sense to me. And
I think he's signed with Darius. The Saints or something. Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out what happened to Jerick McKinnon because he's just sitting out there. But I do feel like you're right. They need to do something. I mean, we're in an unexpected position, and just because we didn't expect to have to need receiver talent doesn't mean we shouldn't go get it, because where we're at is where we're at. And we know Rice isn't coming back, you know, no matter how deep we go in the playoffs. So there's a hole right there you have to fill. And hopefully this thing with Juju won't last too long, but
it's soft tissue, man.
I know. And that's the worst part about it. You were absolutely right. You know, bones, like with Pacheco, that's a really, you know, dependable recovery schedule. Soft tissue stuff, high ankle sprains, hamstrings, groin injuries. Those things just seem to linger on and on and on. And hopefully not the case, but when you watched him come off the field the other night, or the other day in San Francisco, it looked like it was a little bit painful. And so we'll see what happens.
You know, one of the things, Dan, that I'm fascinated with, and you brought it up briefly just a few moments ago, and that is the Travis Kelce situation. You know, a lot of people are wondering, why is he not having the year that he's had in the past? We all know he's turned 35 years old. I got a question. Are the Chiefs, is this by on purpose? Is there a method to their madness where maybe they're not going to wear him out? Maybe they're going to try to keep him fresh. Maybe they're going to try to, you know, keep him from situations where he may, you know, get one of those nagging injuries. What is the behind the scenes situation with Travis Kelce and his production on this football team?
You know, Paul, and this is Dan Israel speaking. I can't speak for Coach Reed or Coach Nagy, but I feel like a little bit of both. I feel like they kind of started this season saying, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to feature these other guys until teams stop double and triple teaming Travis Kelce. And now they're in a situation where teams can still double team him. I haven't seen the film completely from the 49ers game, but I know in the beginning of the game, he had two guys on him for quite a bit. And so, you know, I think with his age, he's just not able to beat that double team as easily as he used to be. Now, I don't want to say he's done. He's spent, because I think if you saw him do the little shimmy shake thing the other day and get a first down. And so he's still got that stuff in him. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think if we could get to a point, you know, if like, what Jacob just said, if they go out and they go get talent and they can actually draw away the double team from him, we might see a reemergence of Travis Kelce. But that's kind of, I think, what the plan was, is to say, look, let's feature these other guys until they can't afford to say we're going to spend two man or three men on one guy. And it just unfortunately hasn't worked out well. I do think Xavier Worthy needs to sit with maybe some of these guys. You know, I mean, Rice may not be able to play on the field, but somebody needs to talk with him and say, here's how you use your speed. Mecole Hardman would be a good guy to do that with, you know, to sit down and say, how do I use my speed to my advantage? Because we're seeing a lot of rookie things out of Xavier Worthy. I think there's a lot of potential there, but he's just a young kid.
Yeah. And I also don't think, Dan, that he's going to be stylistically what the offense needs the most, which is what Rashi Rice does and or Juju Smith-Schuster does. The last 2 years of this offense, we've seen that role be the critical role for Mahomes. I don't think that's ever going to be Worthy. I just don't think that's what he is. So, and I don't know that that's out there either. I don't know that they can go get it. Another position of need pretty clearly is left tackle. But don't you think they're sort of just going to have to go through the growing pit? Teams don't trade left tackles. Like, you're just going to have to grow.
You have to draft two guys. You have to draft or grow one. I'm still not giving up on Kingsley, but I thought Wanye struggled mightily in the first half, but then he finally kind of started to figure out Nick Bosa. And I thought he did much better in the second half than he did the first. But yeah, that left tackle, man, you know, I'll just never forget the Super Bowl 55 performance in how different Mahomes looked and how panicked he looked. And look, is that physical difference or is that mental difference? I think it's both. You know, I think who doesn't feel that anxiety when you know I can't see what's behind me? And I always liken it to when I was a young man, I decided I was going to jump out of an airplane you know, you sit in jump school and it's like, man, this is going to be so fun. And then you get up there and you step to the edge of the plane and go, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? And so there's no way to get comfortable with that. Right. And so I kind of liken that to the left tackle situation. But one of these guys has to grow and get better and they've got to do something because you're right. You're not going to go out in free agency and get a good left tackle.
Yeah. You look at the American Football Conference right now and you think to yourself, you know, Baltimore and Kansas City are to me the class of this particular conference. But you know, you got the Bills, you got the Steelers, you got Houston, for goodness sakes. And maybe then pick another team. I mean, maybe you throw in a team like maybe the Colts or somebody like that. But you look at this right now, it's obvious to me that those are the two class teams, the Ravens and the Chiefs. What's that other team to you right now that you would think to yourself, you know, that team has a shot at winning the conference championship?
You know, it's funny. I mean, I would have said probably before, you know, that the Titans are gone. I think their window is closed. And I think the Bills will probably be there in the end. But it is maybe the Steelers. You know, I know Tua is going to come back here and make a run at this thing. And I'm sure the Dolphins will be better with him under center. But will they be good enough? And is the hole too big? I think so. I can't see them winning the conference at this point. But I feel like I can't underestimate Tomlin. I just think he's a great coach. Yeah. And that organization has been just steadily winning for 40 years. I mean, it's something else. And so I probably worry a little about them, but I feel like the Ravens are definitely the problem for us at this point. You know, we may stumble with the Bills. We may stumble with a couple of these teams down the road. That Christmas Day game, that's going to be a big one. And I'll tell you what, I hope it's different than last year's Christmas Day game.
That was peak panic, I think. Yes. The Chiefs fans. Yes. Christmas Day. So Dan Israel, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, joining us. Next time you see Mitch, you tell him, I apologize for doubting him that the defense would be better than it was a year ago.
Yeah.
It is. We'll see with Jalen Watson out, but it certainly has been. And that cures what ails you, right? If Pittsburgh winning for 40 years has taught us anything, it's that if you've got a good defense, you've got a chance. And the Chiefs have as good a defense as there is. Can that continue without Watson? I know the other young corners have looked pretty good,
Yeah.
But, you know, that clearly is the strength of this team.
I'm fascinated by the whole situation. I got a big hug from Steve Spagnuolo in the locker room, and I'm like, man, it's just unbelievable how you lose a rookie in Watson, or, you know, you lose Watson, and then these two rookies, Roland Wallace and Malik, it's like, what's going on here, man? These guys are catching ball. They're intercepting balls. We just wanted them to not screw up, you know, when they're out there making plays. And so I think it's fascinating. And look, guys, you know, the whole phrase next man up, it's just so overused. It drives me crazy. It's so overused. And yet with the Kansas City Chiefs, you really have to respect the quality and depth of coaching, because we're talking about positional coaches. Look, I think we'd all agree, you know, if the three of us sat down at dinner, it would be very easy to agree. Steve Spagnuolo is a freaking genius. That's all there is to it.
There's a masterclass on
something. It is. It really is. And to watch him and to watch the way he disguises things is just fascinating. It really, for football fans, Chiefs fans who are kind of X's and O's guys, and you're getting into the offense and you're kind of frustrated with the offense, you know what? Start studying the defense, because it is a masterclass. You're absolutely right. But the depth of coaching, and look, it starts at the top. I get it. It starts with Steve Spagnuolo. But the defensive line coach, the linebackers coach, the cornerbacks coach, they've got these guys ready to play. And it's just fascinating to watch. And I'll also throw in here, too, something I think is really unique with this team. I can't speak to 31 other teams. I have not covered them. But I can speak to prior Chiefs teams going back 35 years. The one other facet about this whole next man up philosophy that works for the Kansas City Chiefs is the players themselves are engaged. Nick Bolton is engaged in having his backup ready to step in for him. And I think that's an unusual characteristic.
Wow, that is. But that's what championship teams do. So that that's true, a tremendous thing. You know, Jacob and I earlier in the show were talking a little bit, and I made the comment that I am so impressed. I can't remember in a long, long time a player that has had a bigger effect on his team. And when you have a good football team and you have an effect on that team in the entire league, and that is Derrick Henry. I am simply amazed at
the season and the new
year as he's having. And I made the comment, and I thought Jacob was going to hop all over me. I says, I'm not so sure that he is an MVP at this point. Talk a little about how do you know a guy who's in his 30s, a running back at running back position, you know, the wear and tear these guys have over the years on their bodies. How do you know a Derrick Henry makes the impact on the Ravens the way they did? I'm telling you right now, if the Ravens win the Super Bowl, it's because of Derrick Henry.
Well, first of all, Harbaugh has to call his number, but absolutely, Paul. I mean, I watched last night and I turned to my girlfriend and I said, that is not a 30-year-old.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, but that is not the way 30-year-olds run.
Right.
I mean, he literally was running away from the pack, and he's such an impressive. I did an interview with him a couple of years ago. I think it was Super Bowl 54, maybe.
Right.
And I mean, it was one of these where you know, I come up to about his midway through his chest, and he's just a huge individual and a very thick individual. You know, I mean, just top to bottom, and yet to have that kind of speed and to be that agile, he's a freak. He is a freak. He very much reminds me of like an Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald was so little, and people said, you know, I don't know that he's going to really be that good in this league. And yet he is, you know, and he was. So I think Henry is, I don't know when we're going to see the end of that, because I really thought, you know, running backs just don't turn 30. They retire. And he's amazing. And if he stays healthy, he will be an issue for the Chiefs to get to the Super Bowl. I have no doubt, Paul, you're absolutely right about that. But, you know, that's why they drafted him. I mean, that's why they traded for him and acquired him. And because they thought he could make a difference to their game. And man, has he. And, you know, I got to throw in here, though, because Jacob kind of mentioned it earlier. Lamar Jackson is playing the role, the traditional role of quarterback, where he stays in the pocket and delivers an accurate pass to a level that I didn't think he was capable of doing. And him doing that and Henry, it's a tough combination.
With more pass catchers, I think, than Lamar's ever had, too. He is one of the great stories at that position, how he's reinvented himself already several times in his career. He's awesome. Let's look ahead, Dan, to the Raiders. It's hard to find any reason why this game would be of any concern. This is a team that beat the Ravens, though. You know, kind of any given Sunday. I don't know. They don't have Devontae Adams now. They're all kinds of banged up. Who knows who's going to play quarterback for them anymore? It's hard to find a reason to be concerned this week at all.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is one of those games where the Chiefs would have to beat themselves. I don't think the Raiders can do it alone. But as you mentioned, those days can happen. I think that Coach Reed is about as good at preparing a team in these situations as I've ever seen. And I think that's why they've had the level of success in our division for so long. And but you're on the road, you know, you go out there and granted, it's not, you know, that stadium's going to be half full of Raiders fans, half full of Chiefs fans. I think that's just one of the curses that any team that had gone would go into Las Vegas. You got to understand that when the schedules come out, the fans of your opponents look at the schedule and say, hey, the Chiefs are going to play the Raiders on October, whatever. And I'm buying tickets and we're going to spend the week out there. I mean, that's right. It's a vacation destination. So I think that's something they'll always have to deal with. But it's definitely difficult to travel. You know, I'm just not talking about playing in a hostile environment because the fans are loud. You have to go out and you have to travel. And, you know, you get home. We got home. Gosh, I think I rolled into my house at maybe 2 a.m. from San Francisco. And now just a few days later, we're going to get set to go fly back out. And so you got back-to-back home games. There's a lot to deal with. And you've got the injuries that are dealing with the Chiefs. They're going to have to make those adjustments and they're going to have to do it in the 3 days of practice. There's a lot here. So can the Raiders beat the Chiefs? Sure. Sure, they could. Do I think they will? Not really. I mean, I just feel like, you know, if it would have to be a global meltdown. You'd have to see it dripping out of the sides of your television, I think, for it really to be one of those games. And knock on wood, that won't happen.
You know, this is the same thing that our conversation that we're having is kind of unique because it's kind of what Jake and I were talking about earlier in the first hour of the show. And it's kind of interesting. But, you know, we haven't had very many mentions in our conversation with you the name Patrick Mahomes, have we? And I find that fascinating because there seems to be other things that are taking our attention away from having the best player in the NFL on your team. And we've not said the name Patrick Mahomes. I'd like to take this opportunity and just give you a minute or two and mention the name of Patrick Mahomes. Whatever comes to the top of your head, Dan. The floor is yours, Patrick Mahomes, go.
You know, Paul, it's an excellent point because Mahomes, I think, threw for like 154 yards. I think he was, let's just look. He was 16 to 27. That's not Patrick Mahomes.
No.
That is not Patrick Mahomes. Yet his quarterback rating was 44.4. Wow. 44. I mean, a guy drops under 60 and you're talking about the bottom of the league. Yet somehow you saw him bust that run. You saw him stop, let the guy fly by. I told Coach, it was like watching Top Gun. I'm going to hit the brakes. He's going to fly right by. And then he goes in and he steps on Mustafa. I mean, that it's like, who is this guy? So he's making a play two or three a game that are helping the team, but that's not very Mahomesian. Mahomes is like a guy making a play every drive. And so I guess for Chiefs fans, the takeaway from that is really about when Mahomes settles in and starts playing like Patrick Mahomes, maybe we'll look as unbeatable as the Ravens did last night.
Wow. It ain't going to be Sunday. I'll bet you they run it. Kareem Hunt a boatload.
Yes.
And lean into that defense. Yeah. And we'll just keep watching the trade deadline. They've, you know, I would have said they get to stack themselves up against the Buccaneers right before the deadline. But the Buccaneers, that was just a brutal night for them last night. So we'll see. We'll see if they add anything. We'll see if the Raiders find a way to give them any trouble. But it is hard to find a way and see it. It should be a nice week for the Chiefs, Dan. We appreciate it. Enjoy the week here, and we'll just have our eyes on Brett Veach. Ball's in his court now. We'll see if he does it.
Yeah, come on, Brett. We need something to talk about.
Yep, give it to us. Just one guy. Just one.
Just one. That's all we're asking. That's it.
Dan, thank you.
You bet, guys. Have a good week.
There goes Dan Israel, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, our Chiefs insider. Always appreciate him joining the show. And, of course, you can always hear the Chiefs Radio Network over on KNSS. You'll hear the Chief Kingdom show tonight right here on KFH. That's at 6 o'clock. Great stuff. If you missed any of it, you can go to the Odyssey app and check that out. It's always available for you for free. Always podcast it out. Chad does a great job with that. We're going to come back and we're going to turn the page on football. We've talked all football. What about this WNBA story?
Fascinating.
We've got baseball playoffs starting here pretty quick. There's a lot out there for you that we can get to. On our way out, let's set up our HTO Text to Win contest. You can enter by texting the keyword T to the short code 20357. What that will get you is a free iced tea, more than 25 flavors to choose from, all kinds of sweet and unsweet delicious iced tea, and some free rain coffee. It is iced. It is hot. It is any way you want it. You can get one of each right now by texting the keyword T to the short code 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rate supply. Good luck, everybody. Those are good for any of the three Wichita Metro locations. We'll be right back with more Sports Daily right after this. All right, welcome back in, everybody. Hotline is back open, the IHOP hotline, where you can celebrate the weekday's new IHOP house faves, all your favorites, just $6 Monday through Friday. Welcome back into Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage here. Thanks to Dan Israel for hopping on with us there, top of the hour. Talk a little Chiefs. We've talked a lot of Chiefs as the Ravens make a statement last night, fire a salvo, and the Chiefs are 6-0. Maybe they don't care, but we'll see. Paul, this WNBA story is interesting. I'm trying to get caught up and educated on it because I think it's very multi-layered and complicated. But what's happened is they finish up their New York Liberty, win the title, and you get through all that, is the players are opting out of their collective bargaining agreement, and they are doing it early. It would go into effect until this next season. So they've got a full year to figure this out. The timing, it makes sense. You know, a lot of times I wonder if the timing is right to do these sorts of things. Whenever we see bargaining go sideways, there are times where I think the timing is very fortuitous for the workers. And there are times where I'm like, ooh, things aren't going so well. Maybe now's not the time. Now feels like the time for the WNBA. What's really interesting about it is, as the players are looking to get a better deal, and they will, is that the WNBA is expected to lose $50 million in 2024, a five-fold increase, according to the Washington Post, over what they normally lose as a league, which is $10 million. Now, you'd hear that, and you'd say, oh, man, the WNBA is failing. Not so fast. We do know that attendance records were in the books this year, largely around Caitlin Clark. We know viewership records were recorded this year, largely around Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark is the cash cow. We've all known that. And Angel Reese, to some degree. So now what you'll have, and why I think this is such good timing for the players, is the WNBA has got to get its media rights deal figured out. Sportspromedia.com estimates that they could, and this is according to that Washington Post article, actually, they're just regurgitating it, but they could be in line to triple their annual rights deal in the next cycle. The WNBA could. So it's like that in business. If you're early on, right? You're early on in it. And they're not early on in the WNBA, but it's early in this new evolution, I should say, of it. Do you go all in then to build it up for the future? And almost always the answer to that is, of course you do. all the betting sites, Paul, all the money they hemorrhaged and all the marketing they did was for long-term growth, right? You go big in the beginning and then you cut it back later. That's the opportunity the WNBA has right now with Caitlin Clark and this newfound fan base and all of these things. You've got to go all in on that now. And that's sort of what the players are doing. They're going all in. And all I wonder, Paul, if all those players who are, you know, trying to teach Caitlin Clark a lesson right now are happy she's in the WNBA.
Right. Well, I'm with you on that. Yeah, that's a good question, Jacob. Very good question. And I'm basing what I know about this whole deal off of what was posted off of ESPN today. And evidently, Jacob, the league has recently entered into an 11-year media deal, 11-year media rights deal with Disney, with Prime, Amazon Prime, and NBC for $200 million a year. That's $200 million a year for 11 years. So I think that's a done deal, at least according to ESPN. And you're right. This is not a coincidence that the league says, okay, or I should say not the league, but the Players Association, well, I think it's time. We have, what, 200 and we have, what, $2 billion or $1 billion about to come in, $2 billion about to come in. It's time to renegotiate what we're going to make because this is guaranteed money, $200 million a year on TV rights just with those three networks. So it all makes sense, but, you know, I wonder if I'm on the board of directors for Disney or Amazon Prime or NBC and I see this deal in particular, I'm thinking to myself, is it wise to get involved with a league that is personality driven? Not personalities, one personality.
I think that's a little unfair. Caitlin Clark has sparked the growth. Okay. No doubt about
it. No doubt.
But I think, and this is why we kept saying, and like, why isn't she in the Olympics? You have to let that growth fall in love with everything else that's happening. Angel Reese was a star too. Even if it's as the villain, still has drawn, and she, you know, she got hurt and all those things. I think you have to still bet on the product that you're able to put out. And that game five was not good by all accounts. Of people that were locked into it. It wasn't like a it just was kind of sloppy, whatever. But game four was great. I watched the end of that one. So I don't know. Like I think that they have to, like, if you're not going to go all in with Caitlin Clark there, you can't go all in only on Caitlin Clark. You have to go all in with Caitlin Clark, right? You have to let her bring everything up and try to take advantage of it. And I think that's what they'll do. I think, you know, initially when I saw this, I was like, ooh, that's a little risky. I know the league just lost a bunch of money.
That's right.
But I also am seeing now that the vast and wide expectation is they're about to finally be able to make some money and project some money into the future. They're expanding by most accounts. The league will grow. Who's the next Caitlin Clark? Because that is very possible, right, that we get the next great college star that the country falls in love with the growth of women's college basketball that's, I mean, just exploding right now. Who's that next star?
Probably Juju are those Smith. Next I'm stars? Guessing Juju Smith.
Well, but that's what I mean.
Out of USC,
so you're
guessing.
Also, so it's not all Caitlin Clark is the growth, right? But the projections into the future can't be all Caitlin Clark. It's probably not a very good investment, right? It's an investment for however long her career lasts. I think you're betting on the growth of the sport, and that's that grassroots growth that we've seen in the college game continues to translate up, and that'll be good. So hopefully it works out. I'll bet you this isn't – well, I shouldn't say that. Most of these things get pretty contentious. I hope that it's not. I hope that – what I hope doesn't happen, Paul, and I'm afraid of this, and I think it probably will, is that this – instead of, you know, the conversation about the great growth and everything that's happened – it'll become this debate again of hard, you know, for whatever reason, people that just have to get out there that, oh, nobody's watching or anything, even though more people watch than ever before. Proof is in the pudding. And then we get this debate of like, well, it's not worth it. That's crazy. Too much money. Nobody watch. Like, let's put all that aside. Let the business people handle the business stuff. I just hope it doesn't turn into that conversation. and the conversations continue to be around the great young players that have infused a new energy into the league.
I assure you it's going to turn that way, and this is going to turn ugly.
It already is that way for a lot of people.
It's going to get even worse, and here's why. You're not going to get rich playing in the WNBA. You're not.
Well, that's what they're trying to change.
They're trying to change it. And that's where this league is. I mean, the WNBA players, they look at the NBA and think to themselves, you know, good players are getting $100 million. You know, did I say great players? No, I said good players are getting $100 million for a 3 or 4 year contract. And WNBA, I read an article with regards to Reeks. We were talking about her just a second ago, Angela Reeks, and she's really complaining. I guess her salary, a rookie salary is what, somewhere around $75,000, $80,000 for a year. And where she lives, her salary isn't covering her rent. Her rent's $8,000 a month, $96,000 a year, $8,000 rent in a lot of cities, by the way, Jacob. I know that sounds like a lot here in Wichita, Kansas, but there are cities in the United States, and most of them rent
is not $8,000 a month.
They quoted it. That's what.
Then now, live somewhere else.
She's probably living above her means, and she can't. Well, on. she made $1.8 million in NIL last year. She banked that. So she's got some money. She made $1.8 million, according to this article, last year. So, but with that being said, still a salary of
$7 a month.
That's what it was. The article was quoted.
Then find a different place.
Her total lease is $96,000 a year where she lives right now. But but the point is that. These young ladies, and I believe they have some right to a better salary, and I think it's going to happen. I think you're going to see that going up because the league's going to be taking in a whole lot of money with TV rights that they didn't have before. And so a $10 million loss is going to turn into, what, $30, $40 million a year profit for the league. I can see that happening. But this is fascinating. And, of course, I'm still fascinated about the whole thing because – this is basically driven by one person. I worry, Jacob, about anything that's driven by one personality. You know, the NFL loves Patrick Mahomes, but he's not the only guy in that league that could drive the NFL.
Well, look, if you're a media rights company, you're betting that it won't be about that, right? You're betting that it won't be just – now, it is right now.
It is right now. Yes, that is correct.
But you're betting that it won't be forever. And I would say that's a pretty decent bet.
Yeah, and they're not be forever. Those aren't dumb people, are they? Those people, they understand. They're not going to say, yeah, we'll give you $200 million a year for the next 11 years, unless they're pretty sure. I think I'm speaking right when it comes to media company. You would know more about that than me because you deal with media
companies. Well, they make bad deals just like anybody else. Well, I mean, there's certainly risk in it. There is risk in it. But I would say this, like for the players, the risk in the media rights deal is on the media rights company. I think the one thing that's almost certain to get better for the league too is in venue attendance, right? That would be the place where I would guess the growth continues to happen even more so than TV. Paul, like outside of the NFL, there isn't anything that everybody's watching. Nothing. It's the NFL and nothing else is even close to it. Not college football, not the NBA, not Major League Baseball, not college basketball. There's nothing like the NFL. And sometimes I think it's like this World Series. Everyone, the ratings are going to be record high. Yeah,
they are, because they're in two massive. Yes,
they're in two massive media markets.
Right, but there's history on that too.
But that's not. But that's not like that. Doesn't speak to the strength of the sport.
Oh well,
right. What speaks to the strength of the sport are butts in the seats, and the collection of ratings from everything. Right. So I think for the WNBA, it's as much for the players anyway. It's as much about. They're opting out because they know more people are watching and paying attention. They know and can see what's happening with Caitlin Clark. They know how many fans are being created bring their families to a basketball game, and they get to make money that way too. Like the teams, the media rights deal for the teams. But attendance matters, and I think that's an area of growth for the league too. So players probably making the right call. If I had to say one way or the other, I think the timing is fine. I think they'll get a better deal, and so will the WNBA, and hopefully the growth continues. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get just a little teaser, a little taste of the Sunflower Showdown with Mr. Savage. KU gets a big needed win. Could anything come of that? Could they be a real test for K-State this weekend? They probably can. We'll talk about it next on Sports Daily. Zachary chimes in on YouTube about the Buccaneers onside kicks. He calls them probably the best consecutive kicks he's ever seen. They missed the second try. Actually flipped over by that point to the other game, Chargers and Cardinals. But it's funny on these new rules, the onside kicks. We've seen several converted, I think, and maybe not as bad as we thought. But appreciate the comment there, Zach. Paul, the Sunflower Showdowns this week. We'll get much more into this game throughout the week here. We'll have Shreyas on tomorrow. We'll have Fitz on Thursday. I look, if KU plays that way offensively, I think they're dangerous, very dangerous, quite frankly. I don't know what's happened to them defensively, but I do think we could get a very entertaining Sunflower Showdown this weekend. And I don't think that K-State should... And fans, quite frankly, feel like this is a foregone conclusion. KU has looked much better offensively the last two times we've seen them play.
Well, I look at the University of Kansas, and you mentioned their defense. And quite frankly, the first half of the season, their defense was probably the best part of their...
At least the first few games, I agree.
Yeah, but the problem is that what I saw coming with the University of Kansas was it seems like in every game, even from the very beginning, and I don't mean Lindenwood. I'm not talking about then. I'm talking about from there on. But it always seems like that the defense gave up one or two possessions that were long, took forever, held the ball forever. You know, that kind of couldn't get them out and get the offense onto the field and get the defense off. Could not do that. And that's what has worried me. I just looked it up. I wanted to see what the latest line was. 10.5 points. K-State giving 10.5. Man, that doesn't seem right, does it? 10.5 over under, by the way, is 55.5.
Over. You, what do you think about that 10.5 point line?
I don't know. I doesn't see it. I think I would take K-State at this point because I don't trust Kansas. I do not trust them. I got stuck too many times earlier in the year on our Friday football picks. I took Kansas too many times. I don't think they're the team we think they are. Now,
no, I don't either. It's hard not to take K-State. Look, there's no way I'm taking KU at K-State in our picks and or anything like that. But that doesn't also mean that this can't be a really dangerous game for K-State, because I think it can be.
It can, yes. No, it definitely can.
I think Jalen Daniels is finally beginning to look good again. And if you've got that in combination with talented running backs, and we know they have talented receivers, it's really going to test the K-State defense. Like, this will be, to me, as good a test against that K-State defense as they faced. If the KU offense is clicking, you can, you know, right there with Colorado's offense, I think, and maybe even more versatile than Colorado's offense. Like, if you've got the best version of it, that's a real test. Now, KU also has to stop K-State.
Right.
And K-State's offense, I think, is the best in the Big 12.
Right.
And so that's where you get into it. Like, I'm not going to do it. But I do think that KU has at least given us hope that this will be an entertaining game. And who knows? And I'm very glad that KU is playing better football. Now I'm also scared, though, because I really want to see one of them end up in the college football playoff. Well, K-State's obviously the team with that chance.
That's so it's the only one. Yeah.
Well, now what? Right? Like, now what do we, you know, it'll be a great, I know KU fans want to beat K-State so badly, but we all, you know, all the rest of us are like, I just kind of want K-State to get in. So it is a little worrisome if you're a K-State fan, but we'll talk about it. I don't think super worrisome, but I think certainly more than it was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Right.
hopefully KU finishes strong. Such a bummer. But it would certainly help if they finish the year strong. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And as Shreyas has told us before, Jalen Daniels does have a year of eligibility left. Like, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, the rust, if it was all rust, the rust appears to be gone.
I sense a little bit of worry from you with regards.
I am a little worried, and I don't know why. But I am. Like, it's creeping in for some reason.
Yeah.
It's like an itch.
I sense that. Now, I guess the obvious question is at this point, who you got right now as the Big 12 representative in the big dance? I guess it's BYU, isn't it? I don't believe it's going to be Iowa State.
It's going to be hard for it not to be BYU.
Well, that's kind of what I'm thinking, too. It's going to be...
They'll beat Iowa State. So it would be hard to imagine. BYU's chance to lose that game against Oklahoma State. All right, we'll come back. We'll wrap it up. We'll tell you what's on the network today when we return on Sports Radio.